chapter. Appreciate my wife, and we've been married for 39 years, and we're hardly ever apart. Amen. I don't like to go very far from her, and she feels the same way about me. Praise the Lord. If you see me, you're usually going to find her real close by. Amen. Every now and then, I've went overseas and to different places. I've had to go without her, and I didn't like it. Amen. Hallelujah. I told her when I was in Africa, I had to go without her. I said, Nick, you know, and it was really dangerous where we were going. There was a lot of Somalian refugees there, and most of them were Muslims, and very antagonistic towards anybody that didn't believe that particular way, and people were being killed. So I didn't take her, and I told her, I said, next time we go, I said, you're going to go with me, we'll just die together. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 14, verse 4. Is this water here for me, brother? Okay, thank you. 1 Samuel 14 and 4, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sineh. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Michmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over unto this garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And his armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves under the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they have hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. Can somebody say amen? I want to preach a few moments on this thought, victory on a half acre of land. Amen. Does anybody in here agree with me when I state that Christians should live in victory? I would imagine that there probably would not be anybody in this building this morning that would disagree with that statement. We all agree on one fact, that Christianity is victorious. Amen. There's victory in Jesus. That's not an empty platitude. Amen. When I sing that song, I believe every word of it. Amen. Jesus did not hang on that cross and endure such an ignoble death so that you and I could walk around defeated every day. He died so that we might have victory. And that victory includes victory over sin, victory over the devil, victory over my flesh, and victory over the world. Amen. I shouldn't have an occasional victory. I should not have victory part-time. I should not have victory, amen, on certain days of the week and other days not. I should have victory in Jesus every single day of my walk with Christ. I should have victory when I get up in the morning. I should have victory when I go to bed at night. Amen. We agree on that. Unfortunately, though, the reality is this. Even I see it everywhere I go. There are so many Christians that live below the standard of victory. Sad. I see so many drag into church defeated. You don't dare want to ask them how they're doing, or you're going to get an earful. Amen. They're going to tell you all their troubles. Let me tell you, being victorious doesn't mean you're trouble free. It just means you're troubled free. Hallelujah. It means that you don't allow your trouble to get in your spirit and drag you down. Hallelujah. You still may have a flat tire. You still may have bills due. You still may have a chronic problem in your body. But you're victorious nevertheless because Jesus is our victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I got lots of troubles. Like my wife said, I lost, amen, an aunt and a second cousin just on this tour. She, last night, this morning, we were wakened by a phone call, and my wife's uncle passed. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's been lots of trouble. Amen. But I am still victorious in Christ.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now I'm going to have to leave in the morning early and hightail it back to Texas to preach funerals. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. But I am victorious. Hallelujah. Amen. So many don't have the victory, yet they claim to be born again. They claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They come to church and sing the same songs out of the same songbook with everybody else, yet they never seem to get the victory. Amen. Every service, you got to pump them up. You got to prod them. You got to get them in the altar and slobber all over them just to get them to have the victory. But they're no sooner back at home and the victory all evaporates. And they come dragging back in midweek service, defeated, discouraged, about ready to throw in the towel and quit. Amen. And I want you to know, when Jesus saved me all those years ago, 51 years ago, amen, I was 7 years old. I want you to know he made me victorious. Hallelujah. Victory in Jesus. And that's why I read this text to you. Amen. Look at that with me a moment. Jonathan and his armor bearer. Just two men. And I don't know all the particulars, but I've got an active imagination. I could just imagine maybe they were out on a little hike through the countryside. Maybe they were out scouting. I don't know. But for some reason, these two men were out there alone, somewhere in a secluded part of Israel. And while they were walking through the forest in the back country in the wilderness, they looked over there and there's this tall hill with a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on another. And right on top of that hill, the Philistines had slipped in on Israelite property and built a garrison. Now, if you don't know what a garrison is, you can look it up. A garrison is a defensible position, amen, that a military will erect so that it can perform its military objectives. It is a stronghold. It is the strong link in any warfare, because at the garrison is where they store their weapons. It's where they store their food. It's where the soldiers sleep at night. It's where they train. It's where the military leaders get together in a room and plan their strategy of war. So you know that a garrison is going to be heavily fortified and heavily defended. That's why they built it on a hill. You don't want to ever build a garrison in a hole. You want to build it at a high point so you can defend it. It's always easier to defend the high ground. Amen. So that's where they built it. And there's Bozez and there's Seneh. These sharp rocks on each side. Amen. And I may get them backwards, but Bozez, I believe, means shining white like a skull. When Seneh means thorn. So there's the skull and the thorn and there's a heel. Hallelujah. And I can see as they're walking through that backside of that wilderness, and old Jonathan looks over there and sees them building that fortress, and he said to his armor bearer, that's just not right. Somebody needs to do something about that garrison right there. This is our land. This land don't belong to the Philistines. God gave it to Abraham. Abraham gave it to Isaac. Isaac gave it to Jacob. And Jacob passed it on to all of his children, of which we are the heirs. They are squatters on God's land. They are trespassing on the property that God has given us. Somebody needs to do something about that garrison. And I believe that's where we're at in the church. We know what needs to be done. And if we don't ever move from a knowledge of what needs to be done to actually doing it, nothing's ever going to happen. Everybody in this building will tell you what they can do to be more spiritual. I go to ask you, you'll say, I sure need to be praying more. I sure ought to be reading my Bible more than I do. I ought to quit missing church like I do. I ought to be more faithful. There's some little things in my life I know I need to give to the Lord. And I just need to, we all know what we need to do, but for some reason we are good hearers but not always the good doers that we ought to be. Amen. We have a theoretical knowledge of what needs to be done. We know how to have revival. Come on. We know, amen, there's elders in here that have seen the glory of God. I enjoyed that Sunday school, brother. That was excellent. I love to hear a man that knows the word. I guarantee you, our brother here has seen some things. He needs to write a book if he hadn't. Come on. Yes, sir. We don't need to lose all those miracles. All those stories of people being delivered from sin. We need to hear that. There's young people coming up in the church that needs that. Somebody needs to get a tape recorder and let you start telling all the stories. And somebody needs to write it all down and put it in a book so we can all read it. Amen. We know what needs to be done. Jonathan, I just in my mind could imagine somebody needs to do something about that. But here's where it all changed. When he looked at his armor bearer and said, we're going to do something about that. Amen. Until we get to that point, we're not really going to see any more than what we've been seeing for the last 20 years. Amen. We've got to move from theory to practice. Hallelujah. We're going to have to begin to do the work of the Lord. And Jonathan began to lay out a plan. He said, first, we're going to go over there, just the two of us. Who knows if God won't work for just a few? He don't have to have many. Sometimes we are often stopped in the forward motion of doing the will of God by the idea that one person can't make a difference. Amen. What good can I do? I'm just an offering taker. What good can I do? I just vacuum the floors of the church. What good can I do? I'm just a faithful tithe payer. Come on. Amen, but we've got to decide and realize, amen, that every single one of us in here this morning can make a difference. Who knows if God won't work for us? Does the Lord need many or does he need few? He said, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to go stand at the bottom of that hill right there in plain daylight until they notice us. He says it like this, we're going to discover ourselves to the enemy. I want you to know, folks, that's what it's going to take. Amen. You'll never be able to make an impact for God and against the enemy from a place of safety. You're going to have to put yourself in a vulnerable place. You're going to have to discover yourself to the enemy. If the devil don't know who you are, then you're really not doing much for God. Amen. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? I want you to know the devil had a picture of Paul in his office and said he's the most wanted man. He knew who he was. And if you and I are going to do anything for the Lord, we've got to make an impact by putting ourselves in a position that's dangerous. You see, a boot camp can make a soldier, but it takes a front line to make a hero. And if you want to be a hero, you're going to have to quit hiding in the boot camp. You're going to have to get on the front lines where the bullets are flying, where the enemy is charging, where there's danger. That's where heroes are made. Every one of those men got a medal on their vest or their uniform. Amen. They got that medal by putting themselves in danger. Man, I want to be a better witness. Well, why not? I want to go over and talk to my neighbor about Jesus. Why not? But I'm afraid they might get ugly with me. Amen. You're never going to do anything if you let fear paralyze you into doing nothing. So what if they cuss you out? Go knock on the next house door. Amen. Eventually somebody, amen, might listen to what you have to say. I've had many young preachers say, man, I just felt like I need to go out there and stand on the corner, amen, Main Street and preach. Well, go do it. We got freedom of speech in the United States of America. Go out there and do it. Hallelujah. You all have to grow a backbone to do that. But that's what they used to do. Do you realize all the early preachers in the book of Acts were street preachers? They didn't have this right here. We got this. They didn't have this. They went to the marketplaces. Read it twice in the book of Acts. Paul said that he went to the marketplace and he disputed with the Grecians in one place it said. In another place he said he disputed with the Jews. That word dispute, we don't like it. That means he confronted them and told them they were wrong. Hallelujah. We need that today. So you're going to have to put yourself in a place of danger. But then Jonathan did something else. He changed the order all up. He told him, he said, this is how we're going to do it. If they say to us, stay right there, we're going to stay right there. But if they say, come on up, that will be a sign to us that the Lord has delivered them into our hand. Come on. Woo! And he said, if they say, come up, amen, we're going to do it this way. I'm going to change the order. I'm going to go up first, and you're going to come after me. Now, a lot of people read that and don't even really recognize what happened. That is not the way they fought conventional warfare of that time period. The armor bearer always goes first. Because his job is to bear a large shield. And when the enemy begins to throw spears or shoot arrows at that swordsman, he'll block all of those. And he'll make steady progress forward, and right behind him will be the swordsman, who is Jonathan. Now, Jonathan is like any swordsman of that time period. He has trained thousands of hours, and he is proficient with the sword. If he can ever get close to the enemy, he can wreak havoc on them with a sword. But the enemy is intent on trying to stop him from getting to them. And they're going to do that with arrows and spears. So the armor bearer will go in front. He'll block all of that and try to get the swordsman to that place. Because if he can ever get there, he is brutal. Come on. But now Jonathan's changed it all up. I'm going to go first. You're going to come after. I wish somebody would understand what I'm about to say. Woo, hallelujah. Don't you see Jesus here in the church? Don't you know, folks, I don't have to climb the hill first. Amen. And I didn't climb the hill first. Amen. Aren't you glad that our Jonathan Jesus, he climbed the hill first. He climbed up that hill, amen, wearing a crown of thorns. Amen. Come on. And it was called Golgotha, the place of the skull. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus climbed first, and we're the armor bearer. Put on the whole armor of God, and we come after him.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus will knock them down, and we got to follow and finish them off.
Amen.
Woo. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, Jesus won the victory on Calvary. I can't save anybody. I can't heal anybody. My purpose is to enforce what Jesus did at Calvary. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I don't have to save them, but I sure have to enforce it. I've got to preach it. I've got to testify of it. I've got to witness of it. I've got to pray for it. He went up the hill first, and the armor bearer follows in his footsteps. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus came to shake the order up. Amen. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. On the seventh day, he rested. When you get to the book of Acts, on the first day of the week, they gathered. Come on. Amen. The first day of the week is not, amen, Saturday. It's Sunday. He changed the order all up. Come on, somebody. You'll see it in two or three places in the New Testament where they met on Sunday. Hallelujah. But the Jews all met on Saturday. He changed the order up. In the old law, amen, they just kept throwing rules at people, amen, eventually hoping that those rules would get on the inside. When you get to the new covenant, amen, Jesus cleanses a man or a woman's heart, and it works out from the inward to the outward. He shook the order up. Hallelujah. Amen. So they did just that, brother. They walked over to the bottom of that hill and just stood right out here. I don't know how long they stood there, but I don't imagine it was too long before one of them Philistines looked over that wall and saw them down there. And they got their ears perked up. We're listening for our sign. I don't want to be carnal, but this is your sign. Amen. Hallelujah. They're listening. And all of a sudden, one of them said, "Looky here. Can you really? Oh, y'all come here. Come here, guys. Y'all climb up here on this wall and look down there with me. You're not going to believe it. Two of them crazy Hebrews have crawled out of their hole." Yeah. Ooh, hallelujah. Amen. Woo! My goodness, they began to laugh and make fun of them. Just saying they crawled out of their holes, insulting. Like a snake coming out of their burrow. They're trying to insult them. And they're listening. Is he going to say the words we want to hear? And then all of a sudden, he said, "Come on up here, and we'll show you a thing." No Jonathan, man. Woo! Hey, man, I don't know if he's Texan or not, but we're going to see who's going to show who. He said, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand." Woo! And the Bible says that Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet. Anybody care to fight like that? Does that sound real easy? Does it sound like it'd be easy to swing a sword? When you're having to use your hands and your feet to climb up this rocky hillside. But that's what the Bible says. That lets me know that something supernatural must have occurred. This wasn't just purely natural, because they're throwing spears at him and they're shooting arrows at him. Amen. And he's having to use his hands and his feet. At the same time, he's having to use his sword as men rush down the hill at him. And he begins to work havoc with that sword. He'd knock them down. The armor bearer would come after him and finish them off. And the Bible says They slaughtered 20 men on a half acre of land, and that's what I'm preaching. You, brother and sister, are going to have to get victory on your half acre. That spouse sitting beside you, that's part of your half acre. Those children, that's part of your half acre. Amen. Come on. Your grandchildren, amen, all of that is a part of your half acre. And if you're going to have victory, amen, you're going to have to get it on your half acre first. You're going to have to realize that everything that you have is a gift from God, and the devil has no business trespassing on your blessing. Some of you are going to have to go home and kick that door open at home and walk in the middle of that house and say, devil, this house is not big enough for the two of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody's going to go and it ain't going to be me. Hallelujah, I'm staying. I'm tired of you sucking up my air conditioning. I'm tired of you living on my quarter. I'm tired of you enjoying everything that I work hard for and that God's given me. There's the door, devil, get out.
Yes, sir, amen.
Woo! Amen. You're going to have to start having victory. You're going to have to quit dragging in here midweek service all beat down and defeated. Amen. You're going to have to quit coming in here needing everybody to build you up. You're going to have to come in here to be a blessing, not just get a blessing. You're going to have to grow up and get a little bit of backbone, a little strength, and fight like a soldier in the army of the Lord. Amen. Woo! The Texas Revolution. I'm a Texan. I can't help it. I talk about it. Amen. When I was in Africa, this preachers I was with, they said, Brother Mark, you got two T's that you're crazy about, Terry and Texas. Amen. That's all you want to talk about. Praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. I told him, he's pastor there. He's going to take us over to eat at this restaurant he likes. He's riding in the car. Folks, when you ride in a car over there, you just close your eyes. Let the folks in Kenya and Nairobi drive. Hold on. You don't need to go to a theme park. Just go there and ride with them. Hallelujah. It's scary. And I told them guys, I said, on the way to that restaurant, I said, hey, when we get over there, there's going to be something on that menu from Texas. They laughed at me. I opened the menu up right there. Texas fajitas. Woo! Doesn't matter where you go. It's Texas toast, Texas steaks, Texas chili. Come on. Hallelujah. Woo! Tex-Mex. Hallelujah. Amen. In Texas, Texas was its own nation for a couple of years after it won their war against the Mexican government in Santa Ana. Sam Houston was the president of the Republic of Texas. But that war started in Gonzales. When the Mexican government showed up and said they had one little bitty cannon, probably wasn't that long. It was only there for defense. And they showed up with an army out that little bitty town and said, surrender your cannon. And they all got together. They said, are we going to give up the right to bear arms to a ruthless, corrupt government? And they decided no. And they sent a letter back. And they raised a flag with a cannon painted on it. They said, come and take it. Woo, hallelujah. Woo, come on. I don't know. We might be ready for another revolution. I'm not trying to be political. But we might just be getting close to it. If you want it, come and get it. And that started the revolution. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to have to get victory in your half acre. Amen. I love to preach this. I preached this message before. I don't try to hide the fact that, you know, you Brother Clendenin used to say, if it's worth preaching once, it's worth preaching 27 times. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So, I like to share this message because I can give a little bit of the testimony. My mother's the first Pentecostal in our family, the first one. She's born in Houston, Texas, raised there. She's raised in a good home. My grandparents are good people. Amen. But they weren't Christians. Your goodness is not good enough. Amen. They were good people. Worked hard, kept the house clean, paid their taxes, got along with everybody, paid their bills. But they weren't Christians. And my mom was raised and never took to church. She only went to church about twice growing up. And it was her own decision because that church bus would drive by. And she said, I asked my mama one day, said, you care if I get on that bus, go down there and see what's going on at that church? She said, I don't care. So she did that maybe twice, and that was it. That's the extent of her knowledge of God and the church and the Bible. Two trips to a church as a little girl. She couldn't quote one scripture in the Bible. She couldn't quote John 3:16. She grew up, become a young woman. My dad came back from serving in the Army. He was stationed in Hawaii. He came back. He also was born in Houston. And they didn't know each other growing up. But one day he was in the library there, one of the libraries of Houston. She was there. They bumped into each other, started talking. And you know how them things turn out. They fell in love, got married, and then I was born. Then my brother was born. We were little bitty. My dad was one of the hardest working men. He'd work two or three jobs. So mom could be a stay-at-home mom and take care of her little boys. And they lived in a brick house on Corpus Christi Street. He worked and provided, was a good provider. She had two little boys. They had a car. They had everything that an American would want. But mama is miserable. She said, there's got to be more to life than this. Just go through life, collect a few things, die. There's got to be more to life than this. But she don't know nothing. She's heard there's a God, but she don't know him, don't know how to reach out to him, really. At least she don't think she does. Amen. And the devil begins to plague her mind and tell her, you ought to just kill yourself. One day, she knelt down at the sofa there in that living room on Corpus Christi Street, that little brick house. She's so at the end of a rope. And she lifted her hands and her face to heaven and said, God, I don't even know if you exist. I don't know if you're even real. But if you're real, would you come down and save me? And mama's testimony, the glory of God came down and filled that whole house. And for the next 4 hours, she wept and she cried and she prayed and she called on God, and God saved her without the knowledge of one scripture. Hallelujah. Wow. My dad came home that night after working his jobs. He was tired. She met him at the door and she said, honey, I got saved today. And he's a good old Baptist boy that didn't go to church. And he said, saved from what? In his mind, she got everything a woman would want. Car, a husband, children, brick home. Saved from what? Hallelujah. And you know she really got saved because the next words out of her mouth was, we've got to find a church. Amen. Now folks, I got problems with people that think they just sit over there in the recliner and kick that old thing back and lean back. And just me and Jesus here. We're going to have our own church. Come on. I'll tell you, if you really get born again, you're going to seek out others of like precious faith. You're going to want to unite with a bunch of believers. You're going to want to come to Sunday morning and Sunday night and midweek. And you're going to want to come to the cornhole game. And you're going to want to come on. You're going to want to go to the youth camps and everything else. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. It's the truth. So we've got to find a church. He said, all right, we'll just go to the Heritage Family Church in Houston, Pinemont Baptist. That's where the Heritages go. We'll all go there. We'll go there next Sunday. So next Sunday, they get all up, got us boys dressed. We're little bitty. They all got dressed. They went to the Baptist church, went through the whole service, and service dismissed. And Mama and Daddy, my brother and I are walking. They're probably carrying us some of walking across the parking lot. And my mom leaned over and whispered in my dad's ear. She said, "That ain't what I felt the other day when I prayed through." She said, "I'll know we're in the right church when I feel the same thing in that church that I did when I prayed the other day." Come on. The next Sunday they tried another church and it wasn't it. And the next Sunday they tried another one and it wasn't it. And one Sunday morning she walked into a little Pentecostal church and the preacher was preaching repentance. Amen. And folks had their hands in the air and they were singing and they were worshiping. And she said, "I found it. I found it, and I'm preaching to you this morning because my mother got victory on her half acre." Yeah. Yeah. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't be preaching this morning here in Virginia if my mother had not got a hold of it. Woo! And she poured it into me. And she poured it into my brother. Yes. Yes. And eventually my dad finally came around a few years later. Come on. And now I've got two daughters that are married to preachers. And I've got a son that preaches. Come on. And I've got nephews, and all of them grew up in our church and come out from under my ministry, or the ministry that God blessed me with. Amen. Come on. And there's Heritages out there preaching, and it all started with a little woman, amen, that prayed until victory came. Amen. If you'll get victory, it'll bless somebody else. If you'll get victory, it'll lift up your church. If you'll get victory, it'll encourage somebody. If you'll get victory, it'll lift everybody's spirit. Woo! Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Is it all right if my wife comes? Amen. Come on, stand up, lift your hands. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo. Come on, come on, come on. Come to this front. Come stand across this front, please. Amen. It's early. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Lift your hands and say, "Lord, I want to make sure I have victory on my half acre." Ooh. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Ooh. Lift them hands, say, "Lord, I want victory." Ooh. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Woo! Woo! Lift them hands and talk to Jesus. If anything is dragging you down, hallelujah, climb the hill. Climb the hill in the footsteps of the Savior. Woo! Hallelujah!